if I would be willing to preach, and I said, I sure will, as long as I don't have to start sermon preparation until after the Georgia game. And he said, that's fine. He said, because I'm going to watch it too. And I said, okay, good. So, you know, and Tanya, you know, wives have a way of keeping us humble. She said, you know, baby, yeah, go ahead, watch the game and enjoy it. They're not expecting much tomorrow anyway. So and then I get here this morning, and I, you know, anytime I put on the headset, people say, are you preaching? So Chris Moore, my dear friend, he said, are you preaching? And I said, I am. He said, wish I'd have known that. I could have sat in the deer stand this morning. So anyway, it's just part of being the youth pastor. You know, you just have to deal with those things. But I am delighted to be here. It's always a joy to be able to come and be with my family and be able to come and share from God's word. Before we start this morning, would you join me? And let's just pray and ask God just to do a work here this morning. All right? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power. We thank you, God, that you are a God that loves us. You know us better than we know ourselves. God, you know what we've brought to this place this morning. And my prayer, Father, this morning is that you would meet us right here. That, God, this would be an intersecting moment in our lives where we intersect the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That, God, you would just come and you would just be here with us in such a powerful way. And, God, you would just speak to our hearts and you would speak to our lives. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for this time together. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Does anybody know what tomorrow is? Anybody know what tomorrow is? Anybody know what next week is? Some of y'all are just scared to answer. You know the answer, but you just, oh, I ain't saying nothing. You know what next week is? Well, you know what next month is? Do you know what next year is? Okay, now I know that these are not real hard questions. Okay, I know that you've got it. I know tomorrow is Monday. Next week is December the 10th. We know that next month is January. We know that next year is 2018. We know these answers, don't we? We're smart. But you know what the reality is that all of those things are the future. The future. Tomorrow is the future. Next week is the future. Next month, next year is the future. And the reality is as we sit here in this place on this Lord's Day, on a beautiful Sunday morning, we have no idea what the future holds. None of us know what is going to happen tomorrow. I mean, we have an idea. We know what we're supposed to do. Some of us in the morning, we're going to get up and we're going to go to work. Some of us are going to get up and go to school. Some of us are going to get up and do other things. We kind of have, you know, an idea of what tomorrow holds, but the reality of it is that we really have no clue what tomorrow holds for us. We really don't know what next week or next month or next year holds for us. We don't know what the future holds. And the reality is this, we live in such an incredibly changing world. The world that we live in is changing so fast. I mean, technology is changing and is changing the way that we live. It's changing the way that we interact. We don't talk to people anymore. We text them. We don't call people. We'll send them an email. We live in a world that is constantly changing. We live in a world that's not as safe as it used to be. I mean, when I was a kid, we never slept with the windows shut. The windows were always wide open. We never locked the door. You never even thought about locking a car door. We live in a world that is changing, and the reality is the fact that we really don't know what tomorrow holds. It's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? I mean, that's just kind of a scary thought. There's a lot of uncertainty there. This morning, I want you to know that you can have an unshakable future. You can have an unshakable future. Our God loves us, and our God has an incredible plan for our lives, and God wants us to know and to realize that He provides for us an unshakable future. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds our tomorrows if we're Christians. This morning, if you're here and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that you have an unshakable future. The world that we live in may throw a lot of things at you. There may be a lot of things negative that happen in your life, but I want you to know your future in Jesus Christ is solid. It is firm. And Jesus Christ loves you. This morning, I want us to look at some passages from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. If you have your Bibles, open them to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 18. It says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to drink, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." I want us to understand just a little bit of background of this. The children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. They were in exile. And their life for them was not easy. And the prophet Isaiah comes to them and he shares with them some incredible words of hope about their future. This morning, I want you to know God is in the business of doing new things. And no matter what you bring to this place this morning, no matter what is going on in your life, or no matter what has gone on in your life, God is about bringing new work, new things into your life. God wants to do a new thing in you and for you. And He wanted to do the same thing for His people. We know the life of Israel. Israel was kind of, I don't know, let me say this in as spiritual a way as I can. Israel was kind of up, down, and all around. The children of Israel, they would follow God for a while, then they would turn to their own ways. And I mean, they were just kind of up and down and all around. I mean, they seemed like they were just a little of everywhere. And you know, that's really sometimes a picture of our lives. I mean, that's kind of a picture of our lives, isn't it? We kind of fired up about things for a minute for God, and then one minute we're not so excited about church or about the things of God in our life. Let me ask you this way. Has there ever been a moment ever a moment in your life that you were closer to God than you are right now, this moment? Has there ever been a period, ever been a time, ever been a moment in your life where you were closer with God than you are right now, this moment? If the answer for you is yes, then here's the deal. You're the one who's backslidden. God hasn't gone anywhere. God hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. God is the same. But what happens to us is that things of life, they come in and they just pile in on top of us. And sometimes we just sort of turn our backs from God. Or something happens, it's even a good thing, and we kind of give it our attention and we focus on that. And we take our eyes off of the things that are most important. And that's our relationship with our Savior. The children of Israel were constantly in and out of this battle. Well, they were in Babylonia. And they were slaves. And Isaiah writes to them these words. And I think there's some incredible lessons that we can learn from these things for our lives to help us have an unshakable future. The first thing is this. We are encouraged to give up former things. We're encouraged in these scriptures to give up former things. What do I mean by that? Look at what the scripture says there in verse 18. He says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. How many of us are stuck in the past? How many of us in our lives, the past continues to rob our future? We have habits, we have things that have happened in our lives, we have bitterness in our heart, and we have things that we just cannot let go of in our past. And some of us brought that stuff with us this morning. We do not have the ability to let go of the things back here so that we can accomplish great things for God out here. We need to learn to let go of our past. Now, I find these passages really interesting. And the reason I say that is because if you look at the verses right before verse 18, look at what it says in verse 16 and 17. Listen to what Isaiah writes. He says, "This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick." You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the children of Israel when they're crossing the Red Sea. It's amazing because in these verses he writes, he says, go back and let's think about what happened not too long ago. See, it's funny because he says, let's remember what God has done. Let's remember how God has provided and how God has protected, even when maybe we didn't know how it was going to happen. And when things didn't seem to make sense to us, God was there and God provided. So at one moment, he's saying, go back and remember. And then the very next verse, the very first word, he says, forget. One moment, he's telling us, remember what God's done for you. And the very next moment, he's saying, forget all that stuff back there. How do we do that? Beloved, this morning, I think what God's trying to tell us is that we need to be reminded of the blessings of God. We need to be reminded of the lessons that God has taught us. We need to be reminded of the mighty hand of God as he works in our lives. Listen, I will never forget, as long as I live and as long as I have a memory at all, which is really slipping, by the way. But anyway, I'll never forget as a 12-year-old boy on a Sunday night sitting on the back row of Dunwoody Baptist Church and hearing my pastor say, tonight, if there's anyone here that wants to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior and surrender their life to him for all of eternity, we invite you to come. I'll never forget that. And I got up as a 12-year-old and I walked down the aisle of that church. I shook my pastor's hand. I told him, I want Jesus because I want eternity. A week later, I was baptized. I'll never forget about 7 years after that, I surrendered to the ministry. I will never forget in Miss Tanya's Cutlass, the night that I proposed to her. I put the ring in a cassette case. I did. I put the ring in a cassette tape case. And we're riding down the road, and I said, you know, I want to listen to it. And I said, would you grab that cassette case? She pulls it open, and the ring flops off in the floor. And I'm like, oh, didn't quite think that one out, did I? I'll never forget the night I proposed to her. I will never forget the day we got married. I will never forget the birth of my two girls. There's a lot of things in my life that I will never forget. I will remember because they're blessings from God. We need to always be able to look back and be reminded of the goodness of God and the blessings of God and how God has walked us through and we've seen his mighty hand in our lives. We've seen the miracles of God in our lives. We need to constantly be reminded of that. And I'm here to tell you today, if you'll remember those things, if you'll take time every day to reflect on the goodness of God, I promise you it will cause you to live your life different that day. God is a mighty God, and God loves us, and he has blessed us in so many ways. But I think for us today, he says these words, forget. Forget the former things. He's trying to say, forget the failures. Forget the disappointments. Forget the discouragement. Leave those things behind. Move on and take hold of the future that I have for you. Some of us are stuck in the past. We just can't move on. We've made mistakes, and we just can't let them go. And God's saying, I'm telling you, Let it go. Don't live in that failure. Yesterday, I had a chance to spend some time with some of our church members. I got a chance to go with Jonathan and Tyler and Jax Williams down to their property. They have some land down in Hogansville. And we went down and we were just riding four-wheelers and shooting guns and just doing guy things, you know. And we just had a good time. Well, Jax and Tyler have Red Ryder BB guns. Anybody ever had a Red Ryder BB gun? Oh, you know you have. Come on. I mean, son, it's nothing like a Red Ryder BB gun. And so Tyler was shooting. And so the first few times that he shot, he missed his target. We had set up some milk jugs and some things like that, and we were just shooting milk jugs. And we actually had a little pumpkin, and we were wanting to see that thing just explode. And so anyway, we had the target set up. And Tyler, his first several shots, he missed his target. He either shot a little high or shot a little to the right, and he missed his target. And you know, you kind of see, you know, you ever missed your target? Anybody in here ever missed your target? You ever had something that you really wanted to hit, something you really wanted to have, something you really wanted to do, and you missed your target? Maybe you didn't get the job. Maybe you didn't get the promotion. Maybe it really didn't happen for you. And it just sort of seemed like, and you just were frustrated. And you just, you know, it's easy just to kind of give up, isn't it? It's easy just kind of let that failure or let that thing just hang on to you and remind us you can't do it. See, you can't do it. You're not good enough. You, and the devil, he will throw that in your face all the time. Those things that keep tripping us up, the devil will keep putting them right in front of us. I don't know how many Barbie dream houses I tripped over when my girls were little. It seemed like the Barbie dream house moved all over the house. And wherever I was walking at night, that's where it was. There are things that trip us up in our lives. And there are things in your life, and the devil knows what trips you up. The devil knows what can get to you, and he will throw that in your life, and it'll trip you up. And the reason he does it is not to trip you up, but it's to keep you from accomplishing what God has for you in the future. Tyler never gave up. We just kept cocking that Red Ryder BB gun. His dad and I both, our shoulders are sore this morning, cocking that BB gun. We shot every BB that was in the gun. But you want to know something? It wasn't long that at every shot hit every target. He didn't get frustrated. He didn't quit. He kept on persevering. He kept on going. And all of a sudden, every time he pulled the trigger, he hit his mark. See, folks, that's a life lesson for all of us. Sometimes in our life, we're not going to hit the mark we're aiming for. And sometimes we're going to make the mistakes. As a parent, I have made so many mistakes. So what am I going to do? Just stop being a parent? Well, just raise yourself. Cook your own dinner. But see, we've got to learn to forget the failures, forget the disappointments, and look to the future and see what God has for us out there. I love the way that the book of Philippians says it. Philippians says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. What an incredible thought. Not only does God want us to forget what's behind, the second thing is this. We are inspired to open our imagination. These verses here inspire us to open our imagination. Look at what he says in verse 19. He says, see, I am doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing. God didn't want his children, the children of Israel, to stay stuck where they were. God didn't want them to stay there. God didn't want them to stay in captivity. God wanted to do a new thing in their lives. And he was saying to them through the prophet Isaiah, he was saying, look, see what I'm doing? I'm doing a new thing. This morning, God does not want you to stay stuck. God wants you to open your minds and open your hearts to the new thing that God wants to do in your life. God wants to do something incredible in you. God doesn't want you to stay in the same old, same old. Have you ever felt like I'm in a rut? I'm just in a rut. You know, every day you get up, you do the same thing, and you're just in a rut. Somebody told me that a rut was nothing but a grave with the ends kicked out. We're just in a rut. We're just sort of going along through life. God doesn't want you to do that. God doesn't want you to live your life that way. You see, here's the thing. God is not a one-time creator. God is not a one-time creator, but a constantly creating God. He is a constantly creating God. He is constantly creating new opportunities and new things for us each and every day. He is creating a newness in us. God wants to do something new in your life. God wants to do something new in Sunrise Church. I don't believe God has us here to keep living in the past and just keep doing things the way we've always done them. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. There again, nobody knows what the future holds. But I do know this. God wants to do a new thing in us and through us as his people. Church is different today than it used to be. It's just different. I looked all over this place this morning when I got here for a hymnal. I hadn't found one yet. Did anybody just happen to bring one with them? I'm not saying anything's right, wrong, bad, good, anything about hymnals. But God calls us sometimes to do something different and to do something new. I served at First Baptist Church in Charleston, South Carolina. It is the First Baptist Church of all Baptist churches. We had gated pews. Seriously, the pews were like a hockey penalty box. You came in and they were the most uncomfortable things you've ever sat in. And you had a gate. You had to close the gate when you come in. It's like you were in the penalty box. Not saying that's bad. God bless them. I love that church. But God calls you sometimes to do a new thing. In your life, what are you stuck in? Are you stuck doing things the same old way you've always done it, and you're really not looking for God to do anything new in you? I don't believe that's what God wants. He wants us to open our mind and open our imagination to see what he wants to do in us and what he wants to do through us. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. See, he even warns the people of Israel. Don't miss it. Look at the next part of that verse 19. He says, now it springs up, this new thing. He says, back at the first part of 19, he says, see, I am doing a new thing. And he says this, now it springs up. The new thing springs up. And then he asks a question. He says, do you not perceive it? He was asking them, are you going to miss it? I'm trying to do a new work. I'm trying to lead you to a new place. I'm trying to literally change your life. Don't miss it. That's what he was saying to the people of Israel. That's what he says to us this morning. Church, are we going to sit here this morning and miss what God has for us? Are you going to miss what God has for you in your life this morning? God, the writer of this book in Isaiah is saying, don't miss it. The Lord says to us this morning, don't miss it. Don't miss what I want to do in your life. Don't miss it. Several years ago when I was the student pastor at First Baptist Church of Noonan, I had a young man in my group that was a wonderful Christian young man. Gifted, man, he was so incredibly gifted. And I just had this feeling that he was going to be in the ministry. I just had this feeling. I can't explain it. I just saw how gifted he was. I saw his heart for the Lord, and I just had a feeling. He got ready to graduate from high school, and he was really smart, and so he was going to go to Georgia Tech. So he started at Georgia Tech. He was going to be an architect, and so he was there at Tech and was doing great. Things were going well for him. And all of a sudden, one Friday night, he showed up at my house. Tanya had not got home from work yet, and I was there, and there was a knock on my door, and I opened the door, and it was him. And I'm like, hey, are you okay? Because just popping in on a Friday afternoon out of the blue while you're at college is a little different. And I said, are you okay? And he said, yeah, I'm good. He said, I got to talk to you. I said, come on in. And so we went through the hey, how you doings, and, you know, gave him a hug and did all that thing. And he said, I had to come see you. I said, why? He said, because you were right. He said, God's calling me into the ministry. God wants to do something new and different in my life, and I don't want to miss it. And we sat there, and man, tears were just rolling down my face. Because there's nothing more incredible than when a person realizes what God has called them to do, and they don't miss it. Church, this morning, if you don't get anything out of this morning, I want you to know this. God doesn't want you to miss what he has for you this morning. That young man transferred from Georgia Tech and went to Samford University. Wound up serving a lot of different churches. Actually served here at this church for a while. Presently serving in Charleston, South Carolina. I'm so glad he didn't miss what God had for him. Don't miss what God has for you. Open your imagination. Open your heart to what God has for you this morning. And don't miss it. Don't miss it. And the last thing is this. We're informed through these verses that he will do the impossible. We're informed through these verses that God will do the impossible. Look at the last part of verse 19. He says, I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Between the captivity in Babylon and the return to Israel, laid literally hundreds of miles of wilderness. But God's people didn't have to be afraid. What Isaiah was trying to say to them is that you don't have to be afraid. God is going to provide for you, and God is going to protect you. See, it seemed impossible for them to ever get from Babylonia to Israel. It seemed like it would never happen. They would never make it. And what God was saying is, what is impossible to you is very possible with me. I will provide for you. I will protect you. I will pave the way for you. Beloved, this morning, God is still in the business of providing, protecting, and paving the way. He says the same thing to us this morning. He has the same thing that he wants to give us. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. That mountain that you have in front of you may seem so big. It may seem so hard. It may seem unmovable. I want you to know that nothing is impossible with God. God is still in the miracle business. He still does miracles today. God still wants to do things in our lives that we can't explain. He is the God of the impossible. You see, God wants your future to be bright. God wants your future to be incredible. God wants your future to be solid. The old song used to say, "On Christ the solid rock I stand." He desires to be our solid rock this morning. He knows the plans he has for you. He knows the future he has for you. And this plan's not to hurt you, not to harm you, but to prosper you, to make you have the greatest life ever. Now, let's make sure that we don't mess that up. Oh, cool, I'm going to be rich. No, that's not what it says. That's not what it says. But God will protect you, and God will prosper you, and God will do everything he can for you. I mean, hasn't he already done the impossible for us? Hasn't he already done the impossible for you? Are you still looking for the miracle? The miracle that's really already happened and already taken place? Are you still searching for the miracle? Are you still searching for the new thing this morning? Maybe it's the fact that you're here and you've really never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. See, this morning, folks, it all comes down to that. It comes down to having a simple, childlike faith like you saw right over in that baptistry this morning. That's what it's all about. You can have all the theology knowledge you want. You can know the Bible from cover to cover. You can even have memorized the maps. And you can still die and bust hell wide open if you don't have a simple faith like what we saw just a few minutes ago. That's the new thing. That's the miracle. The miracle, the impossible, has already happened because Jesus came to this earth, born of a virgin, miracle. Born in Bethlehem, prophecy fulfilled. Lived a sinless life on this earth, miracle. Was crucified on a cross, placed in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, rose from the dead, miracle. New thing, impossible. What are you waiting for? The impossible's already happened. The miracle has been given. Have we received it or have we missed it? Have we received it or have we missed it? Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you've never been in church before. Maybe you just came with a friend today. Maybe you saw the sign. Maybe you saw it on the website and you just walked into church today. I don't know. Maybe you came with a family member. Maybe you came with a friend. Maybe somebody invited you. Maybe you've been sitting in this church or another church for years and years and years, and somehow, some way, you've missed the miracle. This morning, I want you to hear this. God loves you. God loves you so much. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. God loves you. He loves you just like you are. The Bible says that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, each and every one of us. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The Bible also says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life." Maybe you're here this morning, you've never received the miracle. I want you to know God wants you to receive it. God wants to do a new thing in you. And the new thing, may this very moment be you trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior. I love the very end of these few verses because it says this. In verse 21, he says, the people I formed for myself, listen to this last line. He says, that they may proclaim my praise. You and I were created to praise God. He was literally saying this was what they're created for. You're created to give praise to God. Tuesday before Thanksgiving, my 97-year-old grandmother fell at home that morning. She has one of the I have fallen but can't get up buttons. And so she pushed her button. EMTs came. Her neighbor walked over. They got her up, checked her out. She was doing okay. She lives up by herself, by the way, in her own home. Still has her own car. Stopped driving just a few months ago. Praise the Lord. Last year at Christmas, she came in and was so excited because she just got her driver's license renewed for 5 more years. Later on Tuesday night, my mom had gone over after she got off work, spent some time with her, cooked her some supper. They visited together, and my mom went back home. And my grandmother, about 8:30 that Tuesday night, got up, and she fell again. This time, she was too embarrassed to push the button. So for 14 hours, she laid on the floor. When my mom couldn't get her that next morning, she got in the car and went over to her house, went in, found her laying on the floor. Called 911. They got her to the hospital. They began to check her out. Thanksgiving Day, me and Tanya and the girls spent Thanksgiving up at the hospital with my grandmother. And it was great. But I looked at my grandmother and she looked at us and with her little hands she said, I thought I was going up yonder. I thought I was going up yonder. She has the miracle. She knows her Savior. She can give witness to that. And she can look forward to going up yonder. What's your future look like? God wants you to have an unshakable future. And you can through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, I am grateful this morning that you're the God of all. You know all, you see all. You are the God of our future. Father, somehow in this life and in this world that we live in, it's easy to miss. It's easy to miss and forget what you've done for us. Sometimes it's the things in our past that just keep hindering us and keep tripping us up. Sometimes it's just a simple fact that we forget you really do want to do a new thing in us. Sometimes we forget that you are a God of the impossible. You are still in the miracle business. Father God, I pray that you do a miracle in this place this morning. Lord, I don't know, maybe there's someone here this morning and for the very first time, you've just touched their hearts in such a way and this morning they just need to, as soon as we begin to sing, they just need to get up and come forward and trust you as their Lord and Savior.